Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
An example of a church which perseveres, a church which pleases God, a church also which makes a difference in the pagan culture, and that's what we want for our lives. So here are words of encouragement, words which will help us to persevere as we follow Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Following Jesus is a life of fulfillment and hope. But in our broken world, it takes perseverance to stay focused on God's Word. Today we're learning what it takes to stand strong for Christ and make a difference in our culture as we continue in Revelation. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's message.
Last time we were looking at the persevering church, the church at Philadelphia, described in Revelation chapter 3. While other of the seven churches received criticism and condemnations, the church at Philadelphia receives no such condemnation or criticism. It serves as an example of a church which pleases God, a church which is different from the surrounding culture, a church which perseveres. We also read that the church in Philadelphia had a door open to it. And when the Lord Jesus opens a door, no one can shut it. He holds all of the keys. Will you pray that you will recognize when the Lord places opportunities before you? Of course, there's opposition, but we're called to persevere. Let's learn more then of the church in Philadelphia.
So let's stand and read the Word of God, as it's found in Revelation 3, verses 7 through 13. Read with me. Here is the word of God to us. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Please be seated. I want to focus on three important symbols in these verses: a key, a door, and a pillar. First, a key of authority. We read here that Jesus Christ, verse 7, has the key of David. That seems a strange expression. What does it mean? Well, the reference to the key of David comes from Isaiah 22, verses 20 through 23, where Eliakim, the steward of Hezekiah, a kind of prime minister, possesses the key of David and is able then to access all of the treasures of the king. He, in fact, has control of the kingdom. And now this symbol from the Old Testament is applied to our Lord Jesus Christ. He has the key of David. He has all authority and all power. Remember, he says in the Great Commission that he has all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He has the key to all of the treasures of the universe. We saw that in chapter 1, verse 18. Where he says, I'm the living one, I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. That's some key, isn't it? The key. First, a key of authority. Secondly, a door of opportunity. Read with me in verse 8 again. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know you that you have but little power, and yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. The strategic location of Philadelphia historically meant that the door was open for the spread of the gospel. The Romans were great road makers, and there was a great road going through Philadelphia, which meant that it was the center, could be the center for the spread of the gospel. And the Lord Jesus knew all about that. He says in verse 8, I know your works. I know your works. Outwardly, the church at Philadelphia wasn't very impressive. Verse 8, I know that you have but little power. That's not a criticism, that's the reality. Perhaps the church at Philadelphia had very few people of standing in the community. Perhaps its resources were rather meager. Perhaps the average income of the member of the church at Philadelphia was very, very small. Perhaps their numbers were rather meager, little power. Perhaps not the most exciting place to be from a worldly aspect. But notice verse 8. This church kept my word and did not deny my name. So perhaps numerically small, but it was spiritually strong. It was a small church, but with a big God. It knew the power of God. This church did not deny the name of Jesus. Other churches that were bigger did. But this church stood strong. What a commendation to stand strong, to be loyal to Jesus in a pagan culture. What about you? Are you loyal to Jesus? Do you ever deny his name? I know when I practiced law, when I was a prosecutor with tough men and women in our team, it was sometimes so easy not to speak up for Jesus, isn't it? Just to keep your mouth closed. It can be tough, isn't it? Who wants to be thought of as an oddball? We all have this desire just to blend in, to be one of the boys or one of the girls and not stand out. But Christ takes us and puts us often in difficult circumstances. The office that you work might be a very difficult place. Perhaps you're the only follower of Jesus. Perhaps you're the only follower of Jesus in your family or in your class at school. What are you to do to blend in? Absolutely not. Be a Philadelphian. And keep his word and don't deny his name. Now, this church at Philadelphia was highly privileged. Again, in verse 8, the Lord Jesus had set before this church an open door which no one is able to shut. Don't you love that? We don't know the details, but clearly the Lord Jesus, in his sovereign purposes, had given this church, which didn't seem to have much power, but was faithful to the word of God, had given the church a great opportunity to serve him. There were many difficulties, many obstacles in serving the Lord in Philadelphia, I'm sure. But the Lord graciously opened a door which no one could shut. Do you know that God opens doors? We sometimes think of countries. We sometimes think of Islam. We sometimes think of families. And we think, oh, there's no way we could penetrate the gospel to that situation. That person will never, ever listen to the gospel. This nation, this people will never hear it. 1 Corinthians 16. If you have your Bible, turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says this in verse 8. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. The fact that God opens the door doesn't mean to say there's opposition. Doesn't mean to say it's easy. Who wants to go to a tough situation? But Paul is saying God has opened a very wide door, a very effective door for the work. It's open to me, but there are many adversaries. Again, in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Listen to this. Paul says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. God opens doors. God closes doors. Doors for the gospel. Doors for opportunity. When I was a young man in my early 20s, I remember hearing a Scottish missionary speak. His name was Geoffrey Bull. And he had gone to China and Tibet in about 1950. He was then, in 1947, late 1940s, just after World War II. And at that time, he was 25. You know, one of the things that bothers me today, and I sometimes find I'm slipping into it myself, is that we call men and women in their 20s as kids. Listen, if you're 25, you're not a kid. You may act like a kid, but you're not a kid. Here is a young man, he's 25 years old, and he believes that God is opening a door. He goes, he studies Chinese, he studies the Tibetan language, and he first set foot, I'm reading here, on Tibetan soil on July 29, 1950. And he wrote in his Bible, just before noon, I crossed the river of the golden sand, which flows from the upper reaches of the Yangtze, and set down my foot on Tibetan soil. For me, a very great event, and I also dare to believe a very great event in the history of the gospel's advance in Central Asia by the will of God. What was God doing? God was opening a door into a very dangerous world. He suffered illness, he experienced earthquakes, he witnessed, and then he met the advancing guard of the invading Red Army, and he was taken prisoner. And he was a captive for 3 years. He endured solitary confinement in a dungeon. He was cross-examined. He knew that other prisoners were executed. He was threatened with execution. And I remember him saying this. It was very vivid. As I heard him as a young man, he said, I used to think, what am I going to do when I'm taken out to be executed? He knew other people were. And he thought, should I quote scripture? Should I pray? And then he thought, no, I'm going to sing. It's not what I would have done, not being the best singer, but Geoffrey Bull said, I was going to sing. And then he thought, what will I sing? What would you sing as you're going to be killed as a martyr for Christ? He said, I'm going to sing, one golden daybreak, Jesus will come. That is the triumph of the gospel. How amazing. And he wrote a couple of books. He wrote a book called When Iron Gates Yield. Here was the iron gate of communism. Missionaries not allowed here. Get out. You can't come here. And that iron gate, which seemed impenetrable, was beginning to yield. And he wrote another book called God Holds the Key. That's it, isn't it? The world can say, you can't go in there. People may say, this country, this situation, these people, this office, this school is closed to the gospel. But here is a reminder to the church at Philadelphia, a reminder to you or me. That's leaving God out. God is the one who opens the doors. And there was young Geoffrey Bull, a young man in his 20s, single young man, going into dangerous territory in what people think was ridiculous. But there he was an advanced man, not for communism, but for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that iron gate was yielding. And we know how the house churches in China are flourishing. And that countries which appear to be closed to the gospel, God opens the door. And when God opens the door, no one can shut it. When God opens doors, we must go through. Isn't it the case that what seems to be an impossible obstacle is really an exciting opportunity in disguise? God giving you open doors into your family, into your neighborhood, where you work, in your school. Could it be that we are so absorbed in our own life, whether as a church life, with our programs, with the way we do things, or in our family life or individual lives, could it be that we're so self-absorbed and self-focused that we're not seeing what God is doing? And that God is opening doors for you. Doors which no one can shut. What doors is God opening? Remember, it's God who opens the door. Don't force it open. Be patient and pray that you're ready when the door opens. Finally, a pillar of security. The promises for being faithful. You say you're only in verse 9 and the time has almost gone. It has. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go a little late and I'm going to speed this up a bit. Promise for being faithful. First of all, there's a promise regarding the synagogue of Satan in verse 9. It's a group of unbelieving Jews who were opposed to the gospel. But in the future, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This will include the very enemies of the gospel. What a promise. Here's another promise, verses 10 and 11, that followers of Jesus will not go through the 7 years of tribulation. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about this in more detail. But let me say this. The church in Philadelphia was faithful to the Lord. And they're given this wonderful promise. Look at it in verse 10. Because you've kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole earth to try those who dwell on the earth. Some say the promise is that Jesus will preserve the church through the tribulation. Certainly, the Lord does preserve us through the trials and tribulations of life. But here, the reference is, I believe, to the Great Tribulation, going to be described in chapter 6 through 18 of the book of Revelation. This is going to be a future time when there will be unprecedented upheaval and war and disaster and distress in this world. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24, verse 21. In the Old Testament, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Here is a wonderful promise given to this church, that church and the universal church will be kept out of, not through, Greek word ek, will be kept from out of the time of trial which is coming to the whole world. This is the rapture. What is the next event in God's purposes? Verse 11, I'm coming soon. We heard that in the duet. He's coming soon, even so come. Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. After he comes, there will be a period of 7 years of unprecedented tribulation and persecution and judgment fall on this earth. Here is the glorious promise that we, the followers of Jesus Christ, will not go through that time of tribulation. The good news is, even if you don't believe what I'm saying, you also are going to go in the rapture. I know we've got some mid-tribbers, we've got some post-tribbers, and we've got most of you who don't know what you believe, but that's okay. The wonderful news is this, that the church is going to be raptured. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. As I say, in a couple of weeks, we'll look at the subject of the rapture and its relation to the tribulation in more detail. But as I conclude, there are more promises. Verse 11, I'm coming soon. And then in verse 12, those who conquer will be made a pillar in the temple of my God. A pillar, a symbol of security and stability. Philadelphia has been rocked by earthquakes, but those who persevere are assured of eternal life, will never perish. What a magnificent symbol of security and permanence in the midst of this trials and storms of life. We are the pillar in the temple of my God. And then verse 12. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him, here's the other promise, the name of my God. Think of that. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven. And also, we're going to have our own new name, sealed with the very name of Christ. Here's a church, Philadelphia. God opens doors. They're keeping the faith. It's tough going. But here is the glorious promise. One day, Christ is coming. That's our promise. And all who love Christ, if you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will have this new name written on you. And you'll be part of the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven. And we'll be part of that forever. And the letter ends, as they all do, with these words: he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God in his grace offers you salvation. His name in heaven, the name of Christ. Will you respond and come to Christ if you've never done that? And trust him for salvation. Many of you are following Christ. Persevere. Don't quit. Keep the faith. Keep true to the word of God. Don't compromise. Don't be like everyone around you. We march to the beat of a different drum. Our focus is Christ and his word. Persevere. Live in faith. And pray that God will open doors for you. And may we have the faith. May we have the strength. May we have the grace to go through these doors. And when God shuts a door, don't try and knock it down. But to understand that all of these doors are under the sovereign purposes of God. And so we keep looking to Christ. And as you keep looking to Christ, we will persevere. It may be tough, but Christ is coming. Father, help us to live by faith. It's difficult for us because there are problems, there are disappointments, there's our own sinfulness, there's our own selfishness, there's our own self-absorption. Free us from that, Father, and help us to keep looking as we anticipate that great day when our Savior will come. We thank you in his precious name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled The Persevering Church. And as we continue our study on the first three chapters of Revelation, we'd like to send you a copy of a helpful new resource we're offering for this series. It's a brand new listening guide specifically designed to complement these daily lessons. This printable workbook is a great resource for your own personal study or for hosting a group discussion with family or friends. So get your free copy of the Revelation Listening Guide today by visiting us online at theverdict.org. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for John's monthly email newsletter. And if you'd like to start doing more to help share the gospel of Jesus Christ, will you consider playing a part in this radio ministry by making a one-time donation? With your financial gift of any amount, you'll be joining our efforts to bring the truth of God's Word into new communities across the globe. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website. Simply go to theverdict.org. Or feel free to send a check through the mail by addressing your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And before we close, please make sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, now featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. You can listen on your favorite podcast app and through our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Again, I ask if you're persevering. Don't give up. Remember that our Lord Jesus is building the church, and all of the forces of darkness and of hell itself cannot stop the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he can set before us open doors which no opposition is able to shut. Yes, there's opposition, but the Lord Jesus is coming soon. Love and trust him with all of your heart. Next time, as we look at the last of the letters to the seven churches, we will see the church at Laodicea.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.